The scripture this morning is out of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not give up and give them anything because of he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As we continue our look into the gospel according to Luke, when we last saw our hero, he had set his face to Jerusalem and was preaching and teaching his way through Judea. By the time Jesus had moved from the home of, by this time he had moved from the home of Mary and Martha. The text does not say where some of these things were taking place, but it is understood that he was still on the move toward Jerusalem. And although the text doesn't specifically say, it seems that Jesus had gone off by himself, which was something he tended to do, to pray and to have some one-on-one time with God. When he returned, he was asked about prayer by one of his disciples, and so he answered in sharing these words with them. Now, as you noticed as I was reading, the version in the NRSV is different than the one we recite every week. The one we are used to is adapted from the King James Version, which is only about half of what we have created over time. When Jesus came back to the people from his time of prayer, they asked him for a prayer that they could say. They wanted to have something like those that John the Baptist had taught. Jesus gave them some words that could help them along in their prayer life, but then he continued with the rest of the passage, because there is more to prayer than just having these words to say. Having these words to say is nice to have in our back pocket. Sometimes when we aren't sure what to say, at least we have this memorized prayer, a prayer based on something that Jesus taught the original disciples. But Jesus did not spend too much time on the right words, but rather moved onto the importance of prayer. Regardless of whether we have the right words to say, God is listening and is connected to us through our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. The disciples here with Jesus wanted to have something to say when they didn't know what to say, sort of the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious of prayers. I'm surprised I got through that without messing it up. Been listening to that song for 36 years and I still get it wrong sometimes. How often have you been in a situation needing to pray, needing God's guidance, and not knowing what to say? Regardless of whether or not anything ever actually forms in your mind or comes out of your mouth, God is there. God is with us in our solid and not so solid thoughts. Even when we don't know what words to use, God knows what is in our hearts and hears us in spite of ourselves. What we have to remember, though, is that prayer is not a wish list. God is not a genie in a bottle just waiting for us to make our wishes known so that they might be granted. The point of prayer is not to strengthen our earthly bounty, but to strengthen our relationship with God and to connect our souls to our Creator, and our Creator with our souls. Just as when we were children making out our lists for Santa Claus, when we pray in an inexperienced way, we ask for things that we want. We ask, not listening, knowing, or paying attention to the greater good of those around us, including ourselves, or for the call that God has on our lives. When we add our own agenda to our prayers, God's response is most likely not going to be something we really want to hear. We run that risk anyway, but certainly when God's will and vision are not at the forefront of our asking, the chances become greater. There was a time in my life that I asked God for a lot of things, and I couldn't understand why things weren't falling into place. I had found someone that I loved, someone that I wanted to be with, to marry, to start a family with. I was willing to give up a lot of things to make that happen with this person, and I prayed, please, God, let this work. The problem was that being with that particular person, I was slowly severing my relationship with God. The change was so small that I didn't notice it until one day I realized that I was very removed from the love and spirit of God. I felt alone and that God had left me, not realizing that it was not God that had moved, but me. It feels sometimes that God might not be answering our prayers. Rest assured, all prayers are answered. The answers come in God's time. And honestly, sometimes that answer is no. Sometimes the answer is something that never even occurred to us before. As Jesus said in this passage, even those who are evil make sure their children have what they need. God can certainly grant us mindless things if God wanted to, and if God wants to. But Jesus also says that when a child asks for an egg, they will not receive a scorpion. Conversely, if the child asks for a scorpion, a good parent will not give them the scorpion. God is not going to grant our every whim if it is something that is going to cause us harm. God is not going to grant a prayer that deepens a disconnect in our relationship with God. I have heard people say before that if God hasn't answered your prayer, it's because you lack faith. And that simply is not true. When it seems like God has not answered your prayer, it is not because you have not believed enough or because you didn't ask correctly. Again, the answers come in God's time and in God's way. And it is not always what we expect. Today's sermon is a little heavy on the personal experience, but despite what many of you may think, I have been around the block a few times, and I have some stories. When I was in seminary, one of my field placements was as a chaplain at the local hospital. It was a trauma center in one of the larger hospitals in the area, so I saw quite a few different types of cases. One day, I was called up to the ICU because the daughter of a patient was distraught. She wanted all of the spiritual care she could get. She wanted me to call in a priest to give her father the sacrament of the sick, better known to a lot of you as the last rites. She wanted both the priest and I to bring anointing oil and to give only prayers of complete and total healing. She refused any sort of grief counseling and refused any prayers that were not of complete and total healing. What she wanted was for her father to wake up, to hop out of bed and say, "Come on, kid, let's go." Her father was over 100 years old. He was very sick. His body was shutting down one system at a time. When her father died, she didn't want to talk to any of us. She blamed us for not praying hard enough for only complete and total healing. Although I am not sure what the outcome was for this particular woman, I do know that for some people, this would be an excuse to prove that God doesn't answer prayer. Or worse, that God isn't even there. Just because we do not receive the answer we are looking for does not mean that the prayer has not been heard and has not been answered. This woman's father was in pain. He was suffering. He had requested that no extraordinary measures be taken to keep him alive. As the priest and I left this man's bedside after he had passed away and after the daughter had thrown us out, we talked and we realized the blessing of the answered prayer. Complete and total healing does not always mean extended earthly life, no matter how hard it is for us to let someone go. There is a Garth Brooks song that my husband Josh plays a lot called Unanswered Prayers. And although the wording of the title and some of the lyrics contradict what I just said about all prayers being answered, it is still a good song. Rather than thanking God for unanswered prayers, I thank God for answering the prayer that I should have been lifting in the first place. I asked for a scorpion and God wouldn't put it in my hands. Rather, God said, "Say, why don't you hold on to this egg? It's pretty cool, and you probably won't die." And naturally, God was right. God did not let the relationship I was in with that person continue. God saw that it was destroying me and my relationship with God, and I was able to get out. I was able to come to my senses and realize where I was supposed to be. I certainly don't want that man to feel bad about himself, but he's not listening to this anyway, so thank God for knowing what was good for me when I didn't. Thank God for saving me from myself. Thank God for giving me the confidence a few weeks later to compliment a coworker on his White Sox cup, because that coworker is none other than Mr. Sandlin himself. Aww. When we pray, we are not only building our relationship with God, but we are changing within ourselves. When we pray, we are becoming closer to that which God wishes us to be. When we realize that God is going to protect us and that God wants each and every one of us to live our best lives, and when we allow God's will to be at the forefront of our lives and our prayers, we connect with God on a level that we never thought possible. Life can be scary, and often we don't know where we're heading. So we pray for direction. Rest assured, just as Jesus taught us, and when we put our full faith in God and check our own ideas at the door, our prayers will be answered. Amen.